Go ahead and take your King James Bible out and go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5 tonight. And let me say, it is good to be in the Lord's house. Amen? Amen. I was at a postmaster meeting today, and it looked like about half the people were asleep. I was one of the keynote speakers today at a safety coupled with compassion seminar. I had my district manager and my boss's boss. We were all there, and for some reason, I got tapped to speak at that event. And about, I don't know, I was using Jude 22 of some having compassion, making a difference. That's kind of my text verse for the safety symposium is what they called it. And it looked like I was losing about half of them. So I just turned Baptist on them. I said, are y'all doing okay? And they all, I started looking at them like, yeah. And I said, if you're okay, say amen. And they all, 150 people said, amen. So they were wanting to get to the chickens, what it was. So there were at least a few Baptists in there. But are y'all doing all right? Say amen. Amen. Got a card here I'm going to read to you. If not for your ministry, there would be hearts left untouched, kindness left unseen, and lives left unchanged. May you always know what a difference you make and how much you're appreciated and how many ways you reflect His abundant blessings. And then the scripture text, and it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to read the part here. What this is we didn't read this Sunday because of the mere fact that we've got our van ministry children in here. But church, if you didn't know it through the deacon board and Robbie and Tammy and others that contributed to the work thereof, you bought school clothes for many of those van children. And this is from the parents, the kids, and the van workers themselves. Thank you so much for all the school supplies, school clothes for the van kids. It was greatly appreciated. Thank you again for all the love and support. And that ministry is not supported well enough even now. They need help. And I can't strong arm anybody. I can't put a guilt trip on you to make you want to do it. The Lord's going to have to do it. But I'm praying about something I'm going to do or have done in the next little bit to speak to your hearts. And I want God to work in that. But anyway, as you're open to the Bible there in Matthew chapter 9, thank you. Go ahead, bro. As you're being seated, let me just quickly ask you a couple questions. And you just ponder these in your mind for a moment. And then we'll come back to them just a little bit according to the scriptures. Have you known anybody in your walk of life that maybe made a profession of faith and at one time walked real close to the Lord? And I mean, it was pretty obvious that there was something changed, something happened in that person's life. And then all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. Is that not sad? To me, that's one of the saddest things that happens. And I wonder sometimes as a pastor, did I let them slip through my fingers? Did we fail to mentor them, or did we not get them into a good discipleship program? Did we not reach out to them? Did we not love them enough? And a lot of times the answer is not on us, it's on them. A lot of them just didn't get saved to start with, Brother Kenny. The devil slipped them a counterfeit. They knew what they needed to do, and they come forward to receive the gift of salvation. They come forward, Brother Derek, to get saved, but because of some sinful pride, something they weren't willing to let go of, and that question that Brother Larry Key always asked the prisoners, is what you're holding on to worth going to hell for? It comes up in them, even here at the front of the altar. Brother Steve, they might make it that far. They step out on faith, but when they get here, the devil has already stolen that back out of them. And they either didn't get saved, or maybe he slipped them a counterfeit, or maybe they did get saved, and then we just let them slip through the cracks. But then again, once in a while, Brother Preacher, there's somebody that stood in the gap. They made up the hedge, and there was no doubt in your mind or anybody else's mind. My mind, there's no doubt in the heart of God, the mind of God. God had His hand on that person, and God was blessing them in a particular ministry. It could have been a pastor, a Brother Chris. It could have been a Sunday school teacher. It could have been some lay leader. It could have been a brother. It could have been a deacon. And then all of a sudden, something happens in that man or woman's life. They're no longer teaching the children. They're no longer preaching. They're no longer doing that. Brother, I'm telling you what, the scripture said that if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And that bothers me greatly, Brother Kippy, to see people step out and say, I'm going to do something great for God. And then, Brother Derek, 10 months later, a year later, you couldn't find them with an FBI squad. They're nowhere to be found. They're not working anymore. They're not laboring for the cause of Christ. And I'm telling you what, Brother Ryan, when that salt loses its saltiness, when it loses its savor, what good is it for anymore? I'm telling telling you, you mess up your testimony, which is the only thing you really possess. You've got a testimony. You have got a witness in this community. Brother Derek, you've got something that everybody knows you're affiliated with. And if you ever tarnish that, if you ever mess that up, brother preacher, I'm telling you what, it's hard to get back. The salt, if it's lost its saltiness or lost its savor, what's the Bible say, Brother Steve? It's good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. And my friends, let's don't lose our salt. Let's don't lose our saltiness. And let me tell you, my friend, Brother Ryan, if you put a thing of salt right here and I put a thing of sugar right beside it and I put them two in the same glass cylinder and I put them side by side, you're not going to tell the difference. And my friend, that's exactly what's going on in the house of God. We've got some that look like salt, but they're not salt. We've got some that look like gold, but they're brass. And that brass will tarnish. That's what happened whenever Rehoboam, I went in there and stripped out the temple vessels, Brother Derek. They took the gold and the precious things out. And then, bless God, I believe Satan slipped in. And he slipped them some brass. And that brass, it tarnishes in the storm. It tarnishes whenever it comes time for adversity. And the poor old man of God, he spends most of his time polishing brass rather than just letting the gold so shine as she does. Salt is salt. Sugar is sugar. They're two different things. They do different purposes. They're two different entirely things. So tonight I want to preach on this message. You are sodium chloride. You are salt. As I look into this tonight, I want you to think about this. Salt is many, it's many faceted, the purposes and the use of salt. I'll go to the book of Numbers in chapter number 18. Flip there real quickly. Numbers chapter number 18, because there's two times in your King James Bible that the words salt of covenant are used. And if you see a covenant, Brother Steve, what is a covenant? What is it? Somebody just spit it out. What is a covenant? That is an agreement between God and man. And if God makes a contract or makes an agreement, he makes a covenant with man, and he calls it a covenant of salt. And we'll see that in the book of Numbers, chapter number 18. And then about verse number, 18, 19, somewhere right in there. We're going to read just a couple verses here because I want you to see that, because this salt of covenant, it plays right into the very first thing and very first use of the word sodium chloride or salt that I want to use tonight. And it says in the book of Numbers, chapter number 18, in verse number 18, it said, "The flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast, and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things, which are the children of Israel, unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord, unto thee and unto thy seed with thee." Let me just say this real quick. The first thing that salt does is salt preserves. Salt is a preservative. If we had Brother Bobby Lovett in here, or if we had Brother Randy Gamble in here, or if we had Brother Scott Wagoner in here tonight, those are all affiliated with either Suncrest Farms or Hobbs Ham House. Brother Kippy, I'd ask them, what do y'all use within the ham house? The number one ingredient they got, brother, is pig. I mean, they got pig and they buy the bunches of them. They go down to the hog farms of the eastern part of the state. You've been down there hauling pork rinds and going back and forth running pig butts up and down the road because they got the hog lagoons down there. That's what they do. But other than the number one ingredient being pig, what's the number one ingredient that they use over there? It is salt. Why? Because salt is preservative, and salt preserves. So what was God telling them here in the old Bible? He said, if I've got a covenant of salt, he said, I'm going to preserve you. Just as he told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. He said, bless God, that's a covenant between you and me. And Brother Chris, it's just that. Just as the same as God made a covenant between David and Jonathan, I bless God because them two loved each other, and they did. God said, this seed going to be protected. I'm going to take care of you. David said, I'll take care of you. And then you'll see that spill over whenever David is ascended to the position of king. When he said, is there any of the house of Saul left that I might show him kindness for Jonathan, his son? Say, He said, yes, there is one, but he's in the house of Machir, which is in the land of Lodibar, and said that that is the servant by the name of Mephibosheth. But that covenant of salt, or that covenant, was a constant binding or a constant preserving. And my friends, as the Bible said, ye are the salt. What are we supposed to do? Bless God, we better be trying to preserve this lost and dying world around us and be salty to them. We might keep somebody out of a devil's hell. And Brother Derek, if we get into their court and we get in their space and we get in their face and we get finally into their heart, Brother Ryan, and bless God, we get a little bit of that salt on them, we just might preserve them from perishing in a devil's hell and dying and going there for eternity. That salt of a covenant, it'll preserve, brother, but you've got to get it there. I don't know about you guys, but I like watermelon. Y'all like watermelon? Anybody like watermelon? Does anybody put salt under watermelon? I like salty watermelon. You say, well, what's that? Is that preserving the watermelon? No, it's just making it taste good. That's another thing that salt does. Anybody like mashed potato with no salt in them? Anybody like fries from Bojangle with no salt on them? Anybody like McDonald's fries with no salt on them? Ryan, I've seen you. Son, you need to lay off the salt. Because when you sit down there, Ryan's over here talking to me, and we're carrying on a conversation, and he's over here like, yes, you want one of my blood pressure pills? You're going to need one if you keep on doing that. But why do we do? You got your own. But why do you put salt on it, brother? Because salt makes things appealing. Yes. That's what it does. Yes. You don't believe it, you let mama leave the salt out of your next batch of whatever it is, and you'll find out real quick that you like salt. I love salt. Salt is good, brother. It's not good for you so much all the time, but a little bit of it, you say, well, what's so good about it? You ever heard of iodine salt? What are they doing? They put an iodine in the salt. Why? So you won't get a goiter the size of a golf ball on your neck. Am I right or wrong? So if salt makes things taste better, Ryan, the Bible says ye are the salt of the earth. So what's the Bible saying? What was Jesus saying? He said that you will become appealing unto them by what you are, by virtue of what you are. You can make this gospel just a little more palatable unto them. They might even start to like it. They may start to embrace it. It might not taste good to start with. But bless God, if you'll season that thing with a little bit of salt, Brother Ryan, they just might start to take it. And once they start to take it, they may start to taste it. And if Amen. They start to take it and taste it, they may start to enjoy it.
Amen.
They just might do that.
Amen.
They tell me, Brother Derek, and I don't know, but I know this much. About every Christmas, and I don't know who's going to step up to the plate, hint, hint. Y'all didn't get that hint. Brother Scott Wagner used to bring me a case of ham. You said, well, Scott Wagner worked at the ham house. Maybe that's where you're supposed to go to work. I don't know. We've been looking for you a job. But Brother Scott would say, if you'll take that and open it, if you'll maybe put it in a pan, a dish pan overnight and just let it sit there. What was he doing? He's trying to draw out some of that preservative. He's trying to draw out some of that salt. Because, brother, if you get it right out of the pack, it is salty. Because it has preserved that ham. You ever watch any Little House on the Prairie? If those people took a ham and took it to the ham house, what'd they do? Just hang it up in there, butt naked, raw, nothing on it? No, they would take that, and they would take that rock salt that they got down at Hansen's Mill, and they would take that, and they would grind that salt down to as fine a powder, and they would cover that Boston butt with as much salt as they could get on it, right? And then they'd take it, put it in the cool cellar, or they'd hang it in the ham house. And you know what? They could go cut that thing 6 months later, brother, and still eat that ham. Why? Because the salt had preserved it.
Amen.
There's a reason the Lord said, ye are the salt.
Yes.
He's wanting us to help preserve this lost and dying world from the very decay. America's rotten.
Yes.
If you don't realize that, then you're watching something different than I'm watching. You're reading something different than I'm reading.
Amen.
Kippy, we're in a mess.
Amen.
It's right versus wrong. It's good versus evil. It's moral uprightness against the debauchery and the sinful nature of mankind. And brother, sometimes it looks like sin's winning. Sometimes it looks like that corrupt crowd's winning. But bless God, God's on our side. And brother Derek, I'll tell you real quick, if God's on your side, we've got the victory. And we can sit back and sing that old song all night long. I'm on the winning side. And I am on the winning side. But let me tell you, that salt that preserves, it's going to keep this place, brother Chris. Help keep it from that moral decay, from rotten to the very core, yes. Because she is rotten.
Amen.
It doesn't just preserve and make things taste better or more palatable unto us, but there's other few things that salt can do. Look back into the scriptures. The Bible said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What happens when a man loses his testimony? He's not salty anymore. He doesn't have that impact anymore. You say, well, what does that mean? Brother Grant, he just doesn't taste good anymore. He's not palatable. He's not pleasant anymore. Why? Because he's lost his testimony. He's lost that ability to win others to Christ because he looks so much like Christ. Listen, there's some things going on around the county right now. You can't tell the devil's crowd from God's crowd in some of the popular events around here, including the music. I'm just going to be honest with you. You said you're preaching against this or that. I'm just calling like I see it. If the salt loses its saltiness, therefore it's lost its effectiveness. The Bible tells us in several places in the book of the Revelation that I will remove your candlestick. When he was speaking to the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. Am I right or wrong? Did he not say, I'll remove your candlestick? So what is the candlestick? The candlestick is that part which holds up the light. What did he say that it was? He said it is the seven churches. So what did he say, Brother Derek? He's going to knock our steeple off? No, what he's going to do is he's going to remove our testimony in this untoward generation. We're going to lose our effect. We're going to lose our saltiness if we do the things that God said don't do. What else does salt do, preacher? Why are you calling us sodium chloride? Well, I remember being little. And I remember some of the home remedies were terrible, Brother Charles. I mean, really. And sometimes I think about the Word of God being like a home remedy. You ever remember that, Ryan, having that stuff in there that put two of these in it and one spoon of honey and some of that home brew and put a couple pieces of whorehound candy in it and you drink that and it's supposed to help you. Next thing you know, you feel like you got a poker shoved down your throat and your eyes are red and it's terrible. We don't do that much anymore. Cindy won't let me bring the stuff into the house. So I have to keep it out in the woodshed. No, why don't you have any? But what do you do whenever the girls get a sore throat? What's Mama say, Macy? Go in there and gargle in hot salt water. Why would you do that? Because there is a medicinal purpose in salt. You go in there and you warm you up some water and you put you in about 2 teaspoons of salt and you stir around, you let that dissolve, and the next thing you know, you're going, and the next thing you know, guess what? That salt has some healing attributes. Brother, if he told us that we are salt, there's somebody, Brother Chris, that you're going to get into contact with them that may have some infirmity. They may be disease infested. They may be steeped in sin. They may have something. The best God, that you might have the very remedy for, right? If you're to be salt, you might be that they're supposed to gargle in. You might be that you can get right in their path, and you're the very warm water, and you're the very salt that they're supposed to have in their life right now. And you might just be some kind of a healing balm. Right. Why? Because you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there? You may not have 2 nickels to rub together, but he said, even as Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. They were being salt and they were being light. And they got into that man's presence. And next thing you know, he's walking and leaping and praising God and went to the temple with them. Why? Because he got in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ through those men who were salt and light. There's a lot of things that salt does. There's so many things. I can't wait in the wintertime when we lived in Country Club Hills. They called that place Country Club Hills for a reason. You couldn't get out of there when it snowed. I saw Jake one night. He had brought Macy home and it was terrible. It was a sheet of ice. And it happened from the time they got from Wilkes Community College exit to our house and dropped her, just kicked her out. He didn't come and stay all night. He just kicked her out. He said, I got to get out of here before it gets bad. And we look going down the driveway, and there goes Jake doing this. And I'm like, Jake's going to end up in the pond. You, what's this all about, preacher? I like it when the salt truck come through. Oh, I did. I like it when the scraper truck come through and I saw the salt. I don't like the salt on my vehicle. Why? Because it's also corrosive. It's going to rust it up. But I like it because it made the situation better. Does it not make the situation better whenever you've got a slippery slope? How many of us have ever walked on a slippery slope? How many of us right now today, you might have been on a slippery slope yourself. You got one on solid ground, the other one's on a banana peel. You just don't know if this thing's going to give way or what. Salt does make things better. Right? It'll improve the situation. There's a reason the Lord said for you to be salt. You can improve somebody's situation. Today, when that meeting, as I heard, I kept hearing compassion, compassion, compassion. All day long, we heard compassion, compassion. And this preacher got up. The first three of us that got up, and I don't know how God orchestrated that in a meeting of 150 postal managers and everybody, how God orchestrated it, but I was the first one up, and I introduced myself as a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, a child of the King and the postmaster of Moravian Falls, in pretty much that order. I just told him who I was. The next guy got up, he said, I'm a preacher. And the next guy got up and said, I'm a pastor. And then the next guy got up and said, I'm not a preacher. I feel out of place. But one of them kept saying, pay it forward. He said, if somebody's behind you, pick up their tab. Reminded me of you, somebody bringing you by some supper one evening. It reminds me so many times when I go out, and Miss Cindy will tell you this, it's so often. We were at the Pines restaurant in Sparta years ago, and we got up to pay our meal. Didn't know anybody in the restaurant, Brother Steve. But the waitress says, somebody got your meal. They saw you bless your food. And because we blessed our food, somebody got our meal. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying be salt. Amen. Because you might improve somebody else's situation. And I think about the times that people improve my situation. Maybe I improve their situation by paying it forward, by doing the things that make situations better, that makes things taste better, that makes things more preserved, that helps the situation at large. And it's because we're salt. We're supposed to be salt. How many of you heard this? And I'll let you finish the story. You can lead a horse to water. Say that real loud. You can lead a horse to water. Why? Because they're stubborn. The biblical term for those, he's a stubborn jack. Right? You cannot make him drink. Brother Archie, you can get up on the back of his neck, put all of your weight down there, forcing his head into that water, and he's not going to drink that. So what's the remedy? If you've got this world, and the Bible said, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. You said, yeah, but you just told us, preacher, that you cannot make him drink. You can't make people drink. Melissa, you can't make them accept the gospel. But what you can do is be salt. If you are salty enough in their presence, Brother Gerald, if you get real close to them, Clay, the next thing you know, if you spend enough time with Miss Kim, they will get salty because you are the salt of the earth. And the next thing you know, guess what, Brother Robbie? They gonna want a drink. Why? Because they've gotten thirsty because you've been around them and you've been telling them about how good that God is. Not how bad they are, but how good God is. Not how rotten and low down and morally corrupt and decaying that they are and that you are their preservative. Not how bad they taste or smell or look, but how good God is. And that's what the salt does to the potato. The salt does to the French fry. The salt does to the ice. You can improve their situation. Make the word of God more acceptable. And next thing you know, brother, you've got them thirsty because they're going to want what you've got. Amen. They will, Brother Steve. I promise you. They'll start inquiring, what is the sense of your joy? Why are you so happy? Sometimes they'll do it in disgust. Sometimes they'll do it in frustration. Why do you think you're so happy over here running around the courthouse always handing out gospel tracts? He didn't even hesitate, did he? He said, I got Jesus, brother. Man. Brother Chris, yes, I believe they know that. Did you ever have anybody ask you, why are you so happy or why are you grinning? Oh, yeah. Tell them. Amen. Tell them real quickly, Brother Chris, when you see them and they say, what's wrong with you? What do you mean, what's wrong with me? Well, you always seem happy to me. What do you tell them, Chris?
I got Jesus, bro.
Say it again. Say it again.
I got Jesus, brother.
Amen.
I got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Just tell them. Like I said, you can't make him drink. You can lead him. You can get him real close to the water. What is the water? You can get him real close, but you're not going to make him drink it. Well, we spent a lot of time on salt. I wanted to get a little bit out of the other ones. You are the light of the world. Why do men not like light? The Bible told us. What's it say in the scriptures? Men don't like light. Ye are the light of the world. But men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Neither will they come to the light lest their deeds be exposed and reproved. They don't like the light, but we are to be the light. If we are that light, it shines into that dark, craggy places in their heart. And it exposes where they're at. People don't like to hear what we've got to say. Because they know that the sin that they're so encumbered with is against God. It's anti-Christ. I'm not calling them an anti-Christ, but I'm saying, Brother Chris, it is against God. It's anti-Christ. And if we are the light of the world, Brother Ryan, they're going to see Christ in us. And you know what they're going to start doing? They're going to start spending less time at your house. They're going to start spending more time other places. They might quit coming so often around you, Miss Sandra. They might quit coming so often around y'all. Why? Because their deeds are evil. I'm not saying they're evil people. I'm just saying that they're steeped in a tradition of sin. And when they're in your company, you are exposing that sin because you are light. And they don't like being in the light. There's a reason, Brother Charles, that in the cover of darkness, most of the crimes are committed. These big cities that have all this gang violence and all these problems, Brother Hakini, what do they do whenever it comes time for darkness? They have to ramp up the patrols. They have to ramp up the police departments. They have to do all this. And some of them will even impose some type of a curfew. If you're under the age of whatever, you can't be on the streets past 9 o'clock. Why? Because it gets bad at dark. Yes. And they're trying to keep people safe. Brother Grant, they ain't going to be safe outside of Christ. They're not going to be reproved outside of Christ. They're not going to be helped outside of Christ. So goes back to us. What are we to do for that? Be salt and be light. We've got to be that. There's a stern warning to us to not lose our saltiness. And then it says this, where it said, if the salt loses its saltiness, wherewith shall it be? Salted, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And then it says, you are the light of the world. And here's what it says. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Brother Steve, if you're real, you ain't hiding that. Like I've said a million times, I guess, Brother Ryan, or a thousand times, if something as big as God comes in, Miss Wanda, he's going to stick out somewhere. He's going to show up somewhere. And I'm thankful that he does show up in your lives. I see it so often. But then it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. But where do you put that? You put it up on a candlestick that it might give a light unto all that are in thine house. And then it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Miss Macy, come to the piano, Brother Scott. Tonight I'm going to ask us all over the house of God to stand up. And as we stand, how's your saltiness? How's your light? You say, well, I've got a little soot on my globe. Y'all ever use the old, maybe the power went out, Ryan, and you got the old kerosene lanterns, got the big wick in it. Y'all ever trim those, turn them things up too high? What happened if you turned that thing up too high? She'll smoke up the globe. I wonder tonight if maybe your globe's a little smoky. Or maybe you just don't attend to the wick. And you let that thing burn way down in there. What happens then, right? Your light goes out. Just not shining anymore. I ask you tonight, are you salt? Are you salty to the people at RFMD? Try to be. Are you light in a dark and dusty and a barren world? Are you light? Try to be. You should be. I guarantee you people know if you are or if you're not. I'm asking you. But if I went to them and asked them, what kind of a response would I get? If I start going to her, I said, Angie, see, Fred, Bridget, Phil, David, I'm going to talk to you this minute. Is Chris salt? Is Chris light? They may say, what in the world are you talking about? I take them to this passage of Scripture. Does Chris exude the very works of Christ? What would they say? What would they say down at Lowe's? Those guys that bring those trucks in and out. What would they say about this boy that works back there in the mechanic shop by the name of Ryan Hall? Well, that boy is awful salty. Or would they say, if he was ever salty, it's lost its savor. Boy, he's the light of the world. Or boy, if he's a light, he's pretty dim. What would they say about me? See, it's not all about just Derek and Steve and Archie and Scott and Chris. And it's about every one of us. If God sealed this thing with a covenant of salt, is it not something, brother, that whenever Lot took his family and fled out of the city of Sodom, angel of God said, don't you dare look back. Don't do it. Then the book of Luke 11:32, these few words, three little words says, remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? What happened to her, Archie? She became a pillar of salt. And do you realize now we're still preaching about salt? Do you realize now that that's still a warning? Do you realize that now, Brother Scott, that's still a warning to this day? Remember Lot's wife? I believe if Lot's wife could come back from the pits of a devil's hell right now, she would be screaming out, get saved. Trust God. Don't go that way. Turn about. Repent. Don't come to this place of destruction. Don't go this way. She had something back there, Miss Vicky, that caused her to look back. Shouldn't have been there to start with. And we can put fingers and point blame all day long. We would have never known had it not been for a New Testament writing over the book of Peter that Lot was a just man. We would never know that. But the Bible said that Lot vexed his soul with filthy conversation. Through seeing and hearing, Brother Chris, by being down there in that wicked place. And look what it cost him. You say, well, what if Lot's wife didn't go to hell? Maybe she didn't. I don't know. This pages don't tell what exactly happened. But she still turned into salt. She's still warning people. Brother Chris, be salt. Brother Jake, be salt. You say, well, how am I going to get more salty? They tell me that, and everything's being seasoned now with sea salt. You know where the saltiest salt is at? Go ahead. Where's that at?
Bottom sea level.
Where? But where? What in that? What area of the world?
It's in Israel.
He's all over it. He said it comes from the Dead Sea. Why is it dead? Because it's so salty. Where's that at? The lower part of Israel. Brother, there's something about this Bible. Things fitly framed together. If the saltiest salt comes out of them places. Ryan, why are they putting all that on the caramel cracked corn now? Seasoned with sea salt. Everything you want, you get seasoned with sea salt. Why are they doing that? Because that's the good stuff. That's the pure stuff. How's our saltiness? Is it pure? Well, not really, preacher. I'm not very salty. What'd they call them old Navy people? Brother James? Them old salts? There's a reason. But what good is it? Ryan, how many times you pulled up McDonald's drive-thru window and said, I want a batch of large fries, no salt? Never have.
Never have.
Brother, how would you got to go to church and be the pastor of No Salt Baptist Church? Dry Gulch, Dry Branch, Dry Pond, Dry Well Baptist Church. I wouldn't want to be the church pastor of Ichabod Baptist Church or any of those that I just named. Folks, let's get salty. Let's keep that saltiness about us. You say, well, how do we do that? We guard our testimonies, because if we tarnish that and the salt loses its saltiness or its savor, what good is it? What have you got, brother?
410, near the cross.
Number 410, near the cross. If you need to come, there's some already praying. If you need to come, come tonight.